I want you to take your Bibles and turn with us to Philippians chapter 4. And I want to speak to you, not so much from the passage, this will be sort of a jumping point for us, but I want to talk to you about resting in the arms of Jesus. And we do have a rest as the children of God, and we want to talk about this evening. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a good day. Thank you for beautiful weather. Thank you, Lord, for your love to us that's so true every day. And we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for all we have in Jesus. I pray that we might understand tonight that there's never any reason why we cannot rest. And we should be able to rest in you at all times. We confess that sometimes we're worried, sometimes we fret. But Lord, I know that we shouldn't, we should rest. So help us to learn about that tonight from your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody here puts a high value on rest. It's very important that we be able to rest, that we do rest. We all need physical strength, and sometimes we get really tired.
I'm sure all of you have gotten to the place where you're so tired you can't hardly go on, and you have to have rest. And it's so important that we be able to rest. We do a lot of things to get rest. Sometimes we buy a special pillow, and one man has become rich because he manufactured MyPillow. And I understand it's really good. We don't have a MyPillow, but I understand they are really good. My wife got a special deal on another kind of pillow, very special, and it has worked, and it seems to be really good. But we find that pillows really help us, so we'll sometimes spend a lot of money for a pillow. Sometimes people buy a special bed just to get special rest. The bed we have now today is because of that need for rest. And so it's the foam kind, and it helps us to rest. So and then sometimes people go to the doctor and they get a prescription so they can rest. And some people depend on those things just so they can get some rest. Sometimes people go to a chiropractor to get adjusted so that they can rest. I know of a person one time, I've told you about him before, I don't remember who it was, but I remember them making a statement, said, "Pastor, I would like to go to the hospital sometime just so I can get some rest." And I thought, "You sure don't know what you're talking about," because a hospital is not a place to rest. Then sometimes we'll spend a lot of money for a vacation so we can get away and we rest, and then we come back more tired than we were before we left. And we want to get home so we can rest. So we do all kinds of things to get rest. Some have become so tired of life and they don't know how to find rest that they take their life hoping that at the end of that they will be able to find rest. So we all need rest. Rest is important to all of us. But many wealthy people have taught us a valuable lesson because they have a lot of money and yet they still can't find anything that helps them to rest. They have so much money sometimes that they don't need to work. Sometimes they have so much money they don't even need to get tired. They don't have any reason to get tired because they have plenty of money to take care of everything, but they still cannot rest. You see, you need rest. You need rest for your body, but our body is not just all that we are. The Bible says we're three parts, body, soul, and spirit. And if your body gets rest, but your soul and spirit can't have rest, that's why sometimes people just cannot rest. Because even if their body gets a good night's rest, they can't rest during the day. Because they're separated from God, and they can't find that rest that only God gives to us. Because we are made in the image of God, and we need the Lord in order to be able to rest. In our text tonight, in the book of Philippians, the Lord tells us, Paul tells us, some things that are necessary to stand fast in the Lord. And he told them, I preached a message one time on this in Philippians chapter 4. He told them to be reconciled. These two women weren't getting along. And he told them to be reconciled. Then he told them to be rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Then he told them to be reasonable. He says, let your moderation be known to all men. The word moderation means your sweet reasonableness. It's the attitude of just being a sweet, reasonable person. The other day, I once stopped at Costco to get some supplies for the church. We need some towels for the towel dispensers. And I called my wife because I knew she was out, and I told her where I was. She said, I'm close by. I'll just stop up by there for a minute, and she did. And I didn't tell her this, but when I left Costco, I don't know what I did. But I pulled out. I was driving my truck, and I pulled out from Costco. I looked both ways and pulled out. And boy, there came a guy up beside of me, and he honked his horn, and he shook his fist, and he hollered at me, and he cursed at me, and I was just trying to look straight ahead because you don't know what those people are going to do. I don't know what I did, but he pulled on past, and he looked back again trying to get eye contact with me, and he was shaking his fist like this, and I still don't know what I did. Maybe I pulled out in front of him. I don't know. I don't know what I did. But he was upset. He was sure not resting. And because of that, I wasn't resting either. But he was all upset because of what had happened, and I don't know what it was. But he wasn't sweet and reasonable, that's for sure. But I was supposed to be sweet and reasonable. And the Lord says, so you're to reconcile to one another, you're to be rejoicing, you're to be reasonable, and then verse 6, you're to be requesting. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to the Lord. And then the last thing he says, and the peace of God, that's resting. So finally you get to rest. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So God wants us to be at rest. He wants us to experience rest. The Lord wants us to rest in him and experience that rest that only he can give. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27 says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The Lord wants us to rest in his arms, wants us to rest under his control. Hebrews chapter 13 says, he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man can do unto me. Every believer needs to experience rest. Now, the Bible tells us that there's three kinds of rest for the Christian. There's salvation rest, and there's life rest, and then there's heaven rest. I want to talk to you briefly about those tonight. Salvation rest. Salvation rest comes because you trust Jesus as your personal Savior, and therefore you don't have to worry about condemnation, and you can rest in him. The Bible tells us that sin brings unrest. You go back into the Garden of Eden where sin began, and it was Adam and Eve. And they did not get tired. They worked, but they had things to do. But I don't believe, because after they sinned, you know, the Lord said, you'll work by the sweat of your brow and all that. I don't believe they experienced what we experienced of being really tired and wore out. And they were happy all the time. But you know, sin came in and changed it all. Because when they sinned, the Bible said they were worried. They were guilty. They knew they were naked. They went and tried to hide themselves from the presence of the Lord. And they got really nervous when God talked to them in the garden. And so sin brought unrest. And that's what sin does. It brings us to the place where we can't rest. And a lot of the world's problems today are caused by the fact that they cannot rest. There's no peace with God. And because of that, there's no rest, no true rest. But Jesus took our sins on the cross of Calvary, and he paid for those. He took the punishment we deserve so that we could be forgiven and we can rest in him. And the Bible tells us that God wants us to rest and not to worry about the future, not to worry about the punishment. He says in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. to them who are called, who are called according to his purpose. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. John 3 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. So there's no condemnation. That's what Jesus meant when he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so somebody that doesn't know Jesus, they don't know the forgiveness of sin, and sin has done a number on them, and they feel guilty, they don't have any satisfaction. They know that if they would die, they'd face God and they wouldn't be ready. And there's true conviction there. They're not at rest. But when they come to Jesus, Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so the Lord wants us to experience salvation rest. And if you know the Lord, you have. But then there's also life rest. And that's rest we experience every day of our life if we trust the Lord with all of our problems and everything that we go through. You see, there's a lot of things that can make you weary. There's the problems of this life. There's the hardships, tough times, making a living, trying to make things work. And you get tired sometimes. And sometimes you get weary. There's sickness that can really bring you down and do you in. Also, there's pressures of responsibilities that people go through, things they have to get done. There's the enemies that you face. Sometimes somebody moves against you. There's death that comes your way. There's temptations. There's all of these things. And just the struggle of living by faith and trusting the Lord. Sometimes you can just be at a frazzle, just trying to make it through life. And then there's personal relationships. Personal relationships can really cause you to have problems and not be able to rest. But the Lord says, I want you to rest. I want you to rest in me. I want you to trust me. In Mark chapter 4, I've used the account on many occasions. It's the account of Jesus when he had the disciples on the boat. If you'll turn with me there to Mark chapter 4, we'll look at it again. And the Lord is... He's the one that gets in the boat first. And so they're going to go to the other side. The Lord has a plan. They're going to go to the other side. Now, that's the way the Lord is with us. You know, we trust him as our Savior. We become his. And he says, all right, I'm going to get you to the other side. I'm going to get you home. And you've been justified. I guarantee you're going to be glorified. Now, so we get on board for the ride. And we're going to make it. But sometimes things come up on the way that make us afraid. And that's the way it was with Jesus. He got on the boat, and they were starting on the other side. Verse 35, and the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. You get the picture. They're in the ship, and the storm comes up, and the Bible says the waves beat into the ship. And then it says, and it was full. Now, you're in trouble when you're in a boat, and it's full of water. It's all right to have water outside the boat, but when you get in the boat, and the boat's full of water, there's problems. And so they had a reason to be afraid, except for one thing, and that is Jesus was on board, and he found, it probably wasn't one of those my pillows, but he found a pillow, and he was asleep on the pillow in the boat with this storm going on. They come to Jesus, and they say, Master, don't you care that we perish? Sounds like us sometimes. You know, we're going through troubles. Lord, don't you care what I'm going through? Why are you letting this happen to me? Don't you care that we perish? And it says, he rose and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Absolutely supernatural. It's one thing for the wind to stop. But then for the waves to stop and for there to be a calm on a sea, the Sea of Galilee. And my wife and I have been on the Sea of Galilee, and it's a pretty big lake. I mean, it's pretty big. And storms can come up in a hurry on the Sea of Galilee. And so when he says he rebukes the winds, they stop, and all of a sudden, calm. That's supernatural. And he said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Now that's a rebuke to us. We go through the storms of life, and we get afraid. And the Lord says, you don't need to be afraid. I know there's heaviness. I know there's trials. I know things look bad. But I guarantee you, we're going to get to the other side. Your boat's not going to sink because I'm on board. And so the Lord, and he says, don't be of little faith. And he actually rebukes him. He says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and they said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, that just tells us the Lord wants us to trust him, and we don't need to be afraid when the storms come, because God's in charge of the storms, and he knows what's going on. Psalm 56, verse 3 says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in him. Trust brings peace. Trust brings rest. It doesn't mean that you enjoy the trouble, that you enjoy the problems. It just means that you know he's in charge, and you trust him. And because you trust him, you don't have to be afraid, and you don't have to worry, because the Lord has promised. Isaiah 12, verse 2 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. We can rest in this life even though we're going through the storms because we believe him. He's promised some things. He says, I will never leave you. So there's a song that says, you know, the boat can't ship as long as the master's on board. Or the boat can't sink as long as the master's on board. Well, the Lord master's on board with us. And so we can't sink. And so he's with us. He says, I will always love you. Never cease to love you. He says, I will always be for you, not against you. There's never a time the child of God experiences God against him. God sometimes disciplines us, but it's for us. He's always for us. He's never against us. And then he says, I'll work things together for good. The bad things, I'll work them together for good. Numbers chapter 23 has a great statement. It says in verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie. So what God says is true, and I can trust it. And if I can trust it, that he's always with me, he'll never leave me, he'll never forsake me, he always loves me, he's always for me, and if God's for us, Romans says, who can be against us? And he'll work all things together for good. Then I can rest and I can trust the Lord. A songwriter said it like this way, God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when we don't understand and we can't see his plan and we can't trace his hand, trust his heart. When you don't understand, we can't see what he's doing, you can't trace his hand, you can still trust his heart, because he said, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, so we can rest. The psalmist said it like this in Psalm 37. There's a series of things that he says. He begins by saying, fret not because of evildoers. Then he says, trust in the Lord. And then he says, delight in the Lord. And then commit your way unto the Lord, and then rest in the Lord. So don't fret because of evildoers. Trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, commit your way unto the Lord. That means roll your burdens over unto the Lord, commit it to him, and then rest. Rest in the Lord. Charles Spurgeon gave an illustration one time. I'd like to read it. And he said this. He said, "You know perhaps the good old story which is told of the woman on shipboard who was greatly afraid in a storm. But she saw her husband perfectly at peace, and she could not understand. Her husband said he would tell her the reason. So snatching up a sword, he pointed it at her heart. She looked at him, but she did not tremble. 'Well,' said he, 'are you not afraid? The sword is sharp, and I could kill you at any moment.' And she said, 'No, I'm not afraid, because the sword's in your hands. The sword's in your hands.' And he replied, 'And that is why I'm not afraid, because the storm is in my Father's hand, and he loves me better than I love you.'" That's pretty good. Don't be afraid. The Lord knows what he's doing. He'll take care of you. So don't fret. Delight yourself in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. And then rest. So there's life rest. And then there's another rest. And that is, there's heaven rest. Jesus spoke of this when he told his disciples. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." John 14. "Ye believe in God, believe also in me." And then he pointed to the future. And he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So he says, there's coming a time when you're going to rest in the Father's house. Rest in me now, the rest of salvation. Rest in life. You can trust the Lord. You can rest. You don't need to be afraid. But there's coming a rest that's ahead of you. In Hebrews chapter 11, it talked about Abraham. It says, "By faith Abraham sojourned in the land of promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God." He looked for a city. It goes on to say that he did not see that city while he was here, but he knew God had promised it, and so he looked forward to it. He looked forward to that place of rest. The Bible says in that same book, Hebrews chapter 4, he says in verse 9, "There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God." There remains a rest to the people of God. So God wants us to experience that rest. It's ahead of us. And someday we're going to lay down our burden. The old Negro spiritual said, "Going to lay down my burden down by the riverside." Speaking of Jordan, when we die, I'm going to lay down my burden, and I'm going to rest forever and ever. I heard Sue Ann and Diana talking up here a while ago, and it had nothing to say do what they were saying. I don't remember what they were even saying, but I was thinking about Gary. I didn't say anything to Sue Ann, but I was just thinking, I wonder what Gary's thinking right now. I wonder what he's experiencing. I know one thing he's experiencing: total rest. Total rest. You remember how it got to where it was hard for Gary to get around? And then I remember going to see him and couldn't get out of a chair hardly. And then I remember that the hospital when he passed away and went on to be with the Lord. And I knew right then Gary was at rest. Perfect rest. He's active, I'm sure, but he's not tired. He's at rest. There comes a rest. There remains a rest to the people of God. And that's going to be experienced when we get to heaven. So the child of God really can rest all the time. We have salvation rest. We don't have to worry about condemnation. We have life rest. The Lord says, you don't have to worry about life's problems. I'm going to take care of it. I'll work all things together for good. And we have heaven rest, because someday we're going to be with him forever and ever. May God help us to be able to rest, because he wants us to. Let's pray. Father, thank you for reminding us of these truths. Help us to be people who rest in the arms of Jesus. Help us to experience that every day. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we do not. Forgive us for when we worry, when we fret, and when we're anxious, Lord, about what's going to happen. I pray that you'd help us to know you're in control and all's well with us. Thank you, Lord, for that rest. In Jesus' name, amen.